And we're in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. We're going through the Gospel of Mark, which is kind of weird during Christmas. It's not normally what you... But anyhow, I'm committed to going through the Gospel of Mark, and that's what we're going to do, okay? I'm glad you're so excited. Hallelujah. Listen, Jingle in the City is going to be great. You will enjoy Jingle in the City. I was watching them practice the other day, and I was surprised at some of the people they lassoed, invited to be a part, and they said yes. And it's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, it is going to be a great, great thing. So prepare, pray this week about who you can invite to Jingle in the City. Because it's the time to go and tell. Amen? So I hope you'll make that or take that opportunity. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says this: a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning: "See to it that you don't," say that with me, "don't." Oh, you can do that better than that. "Don't tell this to anyone. But go and show yourselves to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the season we're in right now, Lord. Draw our hearts close to you and draw our friends and our families close together. Help us, Lord, to be light in the midst of darkness. Help us, Lord, to respond with love and mercy and grace to a world that needs desperately the light of your love, Lord. Bless your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. A man with leprosy. This is not the first miracle that Jesus does in the Gospel of Mark, but it has some symbolism that you should be aware of. A man with leprosy. Now, in the biblical world, when you obtained leprosy, it defined your whole existence. It defined your whole existence. You couldn't go out in public. You had to walk down the street declaring unclean, unclean, unclean. Everybody would separate. Everybody would part because everybody was afraid of you. Nobody touched anything unclean, especially in the religious world. So you can't imagine the torture that this man had to live in. Unclean, unclean, unclean. He couldn't live with his family. He could go to the synagogue, but the synagogue, they would put him behind a screen. He could listen, but no one could see him. Wow. I don't know about you, but I kind of like people. I like to hang out with people. I like to have conversations with people. With leprosy, the conversation stopped. And the only thing you can say to the world around you, to your family, to the religious community is unclean, unclean, and speak from a distance. Speak from a distance. So he comes to Jesus. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, leprosy is a symbol of sin. Why is that? Because sin separates you. It separates you from God, and it separates you from the relationships in your life. It happened at the beginning when Adam and Eve fell. It separated them from God, and then Eve and Adam have troubles right from the get-go. I don't know about if you realize that. What does Adam do? He blames Eve, the woman you gave me. And the next, their next offspring, Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. You see, sin isolates. It brings barriers. It separates. It does all the things that God never intended to happen. So it represents leprosy. Represent. It's a symbol of sin. In Leviticus, in the law, it said this in Leviticus 13:45. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkept. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Wow. They couldn't go in, even into the holy city, Jerusalem. They couldn't go isolated. So this leper comes begging on his knees to Jesus, and he says, if you are willing, can you make me clean? Now, you and I know Jesus a little bit. Do you think he's willing?
Yes.
Do you think he's able? So it doesn't surprise me, but the next words that you, or the attitude that the Gospel of Mark says, Jesus became indignant. Now, there are a few times in Jesus' ministry where he gets angry. He gets mad. He gets upset, and this is one of them. And maybe it is because this man is questioning his heart, his ability. You know, God wants what's best for you. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get in a little trouble. Things don't work out the way I think they ought to work out, and people don't treat me the way I think they ought to treat me. And your temptation is to do this. God, I thought you loved me. Your temptation to do is this. I wonder what I did wrong. You know, we have weird complexes that we develop in life. And just because you think that doesn't make it right. So here's a man that comes to Jesus begging on his knees. There are two Greek words that have to do with desire in relationship to the willingness of Jesus. And it's these two Greek words. One is, one has a desire that comes from one's emotions. And then there's one of the words that comes from one's reason. So how many of you know someone who just operates all on the emotional level? And then there are some people who just kind of negate that and just think, all here, it's all here. Their religious experience is all here, everything. And over here, their religious experience is all a feely-touchy kind of thing. How many of you know it? God created you with both. We ought to feel, and we ought to reason. But this beggar, this leprous man, appeals to Jesus. He uses the word that has to do with the emotions, the feelings. Why? He's after the heart of God. And he comes, and he asks Jesus, if you're willing, come heal me. And here Jesus gets indignant. I already mentioned one reason. And some people think that Jesus is mad at this guy because of what he's going to do later. Because, you know, Jesus does know. He knows beyond this moment. And he gets mad at the guy. But I don't think that's the case. I think he's mad. I don't think he's even mad. I think he's mad because he sees what sin does and what disobedience has done to his creation, to his highest creation that was created in his image. Here comes a man who can't even walk. He's isolated. He's damaged. And that breaks the heart of God. He is mad at what sin has done. And Jesus says, I'm willing, be clean. Can you imagine that? When Jesus says, be clean, what do you think? You're clean. You're clean, there's no doubt. Isn't it wonderful that when you repent of your sins, when you confess your sins, the scripture says this, he is faithful and just to forgive. Excuse me, but that is awesome. It's just like saying to the leopard, be clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. Why? Because I dared to confess my sin before him. I dared to come before him. I dared to humble myself before him and confess my sin before him. And you know what he does? He does what he did to the leper. He declares me clean. Glory to God. That's what the scripture says. And this man was cleansed instantaneously. And then Jesus looks at him. And I don't know if Jesus knew this man or if he knew mankind. And he sent him away with a strong warning. See to it that you don't tell anyone. Go to the priest. Show them what you're supposed to. So Jesus is telling to honor the law, to obey the law. Do the things that you're supposed to be doing, but don't tell. How many of you have ever had selective hearing? Do you understand? This guy who has been healed from leprosy that kept him isolated from the religious community, kept him isolated from his family, kept him isolated from the holy city, kept him isolated all his life. And now Jesus says, don't. And he can't hear the don't. He hears the tell. I've been guilty. Matter of fact, my wife has accused me of a selective hearing every now and then. We all know what that is. Yeah. Jesus ordered him to do what was prescribed in the law because one greater than the law was here. His name is Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, leprosy was something that was only healed twice. Miriam, when she rebelled against Moses, God put leprosy on her, and Moses prayed for it. Listen to what it says in Numbers 12:10. And when the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And Moses had to pray for her, because she was rebelling against Moses and God's authority. A couple weeks ago, I was in Springfield with Ron McManus was teaching. And one day, Ron McManus, he's in his 70s now, was in the mall down in South Florida. And this old man came with a walker up to him like this. And Ron had no clue what he was and who he was. And he says, are you Ron McManus? Why, yeah. I was in your dad's church. Oh, man, it's great to meet you. I'm so glad to, good to meet you. He says, you know, for the last 10 years, I've lived a miserable existence. Why? Because everything your dad wanted to do, I was against it. And Ron McManus said, there he stood with tears running down his eyes, knowing he had resisted God's leading. And all he could do for the last 10 years was regret. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live my life that way. You know what I mean? I want to be able to say, go get them. You know, I may not understand what God wants to do in your life and through your life. I may not have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. And not to say that we shouldn't think about what God is asking us to do or plan ahead, because I think we should. But the truth of the matter is, don't be the naysayer. Be a person of faith. Don't live holding people down. Live encouraging people. Go for God. Do for God. God wants to do through you more than you could ever imagine or think. Don't stop. Go for God. Amen. Miriam, healed of her leprosy. Aren't you glad God can heal us? Then Naaman. You know, he's the ruler, he's the warrior from another land. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. And he was a violent soldier, but he had leprosy. So one of his servant's girls says, hey, there's a prophet in the land of Israel, and I think he can help you. Okay, I'm going to go to the prophet. So he goes to the prophet, and the prophet says, if you'll just go drop 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll be healed. We got rivers in our homeland that are cleaner and better and all that. I'm not going to do that. And his servant girl has wisdom. If it had told you to do a mighty thing, you would have done it. But he asked you to do a humbling thing. And now you resist. So he went and he goes and he dips himself 7 times in the River Jordan and comes up clean. Miriam, Naaman, the only 2 people healed of leprosy in the Old Testament. The rabbis of Jesus' day would say this: it's easier for someone to be raised from the dead than to be healed from leprosy. And here, one of the first miracles that Jesus does, be clean. Because one greater than Moses is here. One greater than the prophet Elijah is here. Be clean. Be clean. And aren't you glad he's willing to make us clean? Amen. Now, here's the deal. He was taught by Jesus, don't tell. And he didn't listen. He didn't listen. He refused to listen. Can I tell you, ministry has many hindrances. Ministry has many hindrances. And one of those is this: people don't listen. You know what I mean? And guess what? We're all guilty. I'm guilty. Sometimes I don't listen. People want to hear what they want to hear. They don't like the nose of God. But they're for our protection. They're for our benefit. They're for our furtherment of this kingdom. And there are a few things that will slow your spiritual growth. Ready? They will slow your discipleship or stop it altogether. One of them is this: listening. Are you able to listen to what God is saying? Another person might say it this way: your teachableness. Are you teachable, or do you know it all? Or do you want to know it your way and only your way? Do you understand? You and I have to be teachable. and I never want to stop learning. I always want to be teachable, right? And the next thing I think that will hinder your spiritual growth is this: managing offenses. Managing forgiveness. Because guess what I know? You are going to be offended. You just hang around me enough. Sometimes I have that special gift to offend people. And it's a great opportunity for them to experience and manage the offense. We all have to manage the offenses that come our way. If you don't learn to practice forgiveness, you are going to stunt your spiritual growth. You will mess up the plan and purposes of God in your life. The third thing you've got to do is be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. I'm going to say it again. Be faithful. It's a terrible commodity in our world. We live in a microwave society and everybody wants it just right quick, and it's hard to be patient, to be faithful. But I'm going to tell you, you will shortchange your spiritual growth if you don't learn to be faithful. I'd been in the ministry a couple years, and in North Carolina, the district superintendent had this little gathering. I was there taking notes and all this stuff. And this one thing he said, I've never forgotten. He said, some ministers are in the ministry for 30 years, but their ministry is only 3 years old. Because every 3 years they move. So I'm going to tell you something. Don't get mad at me. It's an opportunity to manage your offense. Pastors have done a good job of teaching sheep how to move. You get offended, well, I guess we got to move. Things aren't perfect, well, I guess we got to move. I feel dry. I feel stale. Something's not happening. I guess I got to move. And maybe you're shortchanging the discipline that God is trying to bring to your life to speak to you and move you into a different season, a different way, a different place, a different purpose. Because it's always easier to move than to be faithful. Here's the other thing. When you move, it creates such excitement. Everybody's loving to see you. You're the guest. You're this. You're that. They're just stroking you like the... My old church never did. They took me for granted. Can you believe they wanted me just to be the usher? A greeter? They took me for granted. Nobody said, glad to see you today. You know, you do reap what you sow. If you're excited about people, people will be excited about you. I'm glad you're here today. Thank you. So we've covered three things, right? Listening, managing offenses, faithfulness. And here's the other thing that will stagnate your spiritual growth: the unwillingness to serve. Your unwillingness to serve. Give us servant hearts, Lord. Amen. It doesn't have to be big. It can be the prompting of the Holy Spirit to wake you up in the middle of the night to pray. How many know that's the most profound service you can have? Amen. Listen, it's not about what people see. It's what you do in the closet. Sometimes that has profound effects on the kingdom of God. But listen, be willing to be prodded by the Holy Spirit of God to be a servant of prayer. There's beautiful things that can happen if we're just willing to be servants of one another. Amen? Yeah. And the fifth thing that will destroy your growth is this, a lack of discipline. A lack of discipline. The ability to be self-disciplined. How many of you know it's a good thing to get out of bed in the morning? If you don't have the discipline to get out of bed in the morning, you know what you're going to be? Poor. I believe the proverb says that very clearly. Amen? I mean, you have to be self-disciplined in spiritual matters if you're going to be growing spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean that your spiritual growth is always like this. Sometimes it's this and this. Everybody wants it to be this way. That's not the way God works. God is patient, and you should thank God for his patience. He's not slack concerning his promises, but he wants all to come. Amen? Now, here's what I know. In the midst of all of that, it takes patience. Patience to do God's work and patience for God to work in you. Because God never is in a hurry. Or at least I don't think he is. He's not in a hurry like I am. Can you do that today, God, please? He doesn't do it that way. He's patient. And sometimes in the midst of his patience, he's working on my patience. Giving me it. And helping me. Patience required to do God's work and the call of God in your life. So this leprosy, Jesus says, don't go and tell. And he goes, he forgets the don't part, and he tells everybody. He went out and talked freely. He's the first missionary. Unplanned as he is it. And the word that he uses here means to blaze abroad. He struck the man. He spread the news. And here's the result of him not listening to Jesus. How many of you know when you don't listen to Jesus, there's always a result in the negative. Jesus could not do ministry freely. He couldn't even walk into the cities. He had to do it in lonely places. And what did Jesus do? He managed it. He didn't quit. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we think that just because it doesn't go perfect in the way we think it ought to go, and I can't do ministry in the city the way I think it ought to be happening, that we just quit. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit? What did he do? He managed the situation, and he kept on ministering, even though it wasn't what he had intended. He kept on ministering in lonely places, and what happened? People came to him. He couldn't go like he wanted to go, but he didn't stop doing what he knew he was sent here to do. Thank God he kept teaching. He couldn't go to the synagogues. He had to go to the lonely places. Listen, ministry is often hindered. Ministry was hindered for Jesus, and it will be for us too. But don't stop. Keep going. People came to Jesus. From everywhere, the scripture says. Have you come to him? There's one lesson you should learn today is this. When you're in trouble, come to him. When you're sick, you should come to him. When you're in need of a savior, you should come to him. Don't be afraid to come to him. Amen? Because here's the problem. Unlike the beggar, we kind of got a little pride. If I go down to that front, people will think something's wrong with me. No, really, they'll think you're just like them. Because we are in need of him. Don't be afraid to come to him. He needs you, and you need him. A leopard came, pleaded, begged. Come to him. From anywhere, come to him. Out about anything, come to him. No matter what you've done, come to him. Come to him. He came to him on his knees. That's a position of humility, a humble state. He really doesn't know or doesn't care how you come. Just come. Because the whole idea of coming is humility in action, on display. I never want to come to the place where I can say, I can handle this myself. I always want to be dependent on my Father, who art in heaven. Amen. Bow with me, would you? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for what you teach us. Sometimes we shortchange you, Lord, and get impatient with you, with our own lives, with the people around us. Teach us, Lord. Like this leper who comes, Lord, help us to walk humbly before you. Help us to never be afraid to come about anything, from anywhere, any place. Help us always to remember, Lord, to come. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us. Sometimes we're slow. Sometimes we have selective hearing, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Take your word, Lord. Seal it in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be teachable. Help us, Lord, to forgive. Help us, Lord, to serve. Help us, Lord, to be disciplined. Help us, Lord, to always come. May we have that discipline to come every day, Lord, to you and who you are.